Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, good morning. Doug Sinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We're on till 10 o'clock today. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Doug. How are you, man?
Good, good. You can give us a call, 260-1870. I guess we've been fielding mostly insurance questions, insurance Hurricane Ida insurance claim questions, but any legal questions, give us a call, and we'll be glad to respond to it. Albert, you watched the LSU game yesterday?
Unfortunately, yeah. They opened a big can of quit. Just watching players run down the field and, you know, on defense, people jogging, people not, you know, not hitting hard, not wrapping up tackling. It's just, you know, and it's a shame, too, because there are a lot of guys that are either hurt or playing hurt and, you know, sitting and out waiting to go into the NFL combine. And these younger players have this opportunity to really shine and show their wares and step up and play hard. We know they're great athletes. They were recruited by LSU. And I'm just not seeing it, you know. And I think what's happened is Coach O has lost his authority on the team. You know, it's like you ain't my coach. You're not going to be my coach in, you know, five more games. And so, you know, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to do this, you know, whatever. And I just that in the back of their mind, you know, and I just think that I think that's an issue for the team moving forward. Alabama's going to kill them. You know, so, you know, you get a week off, but you also have to go play a really good team. So, yeah, it's just embarrassing and it's a shame. You know, I guess you bring things on yourself and you know, Coach O apparently has done that. So he had a good thing going.
I think there's two different skill sets. There's one skill set to take a organization down and get it to the top. And then there's a second skill set on how to maintain it. And
biggest skill to your next success is your last success, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
I mean, you're a personal injury lawyer. You make a big score. You know, you're working just as hard on those smaller cases now. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you can compare it to in our industry. You know, it's hard to maintain that, hard to keep it up. And, you know, he's a blue collar guy. Right. And he's not been used to that success, never really had that kind of taste of celebrity that he got certainly after the national championship season. And, you know, went off the rails with it. So, it's a shame to see it. And, you know, cause I think he's a great recruiter. But I will tell you, in watching the earlier games during the season, you just didn't see the eye of the tiger, so to speak, you know, where he was on the field coaching and screaming and yelling and getting into it. And he was just kind of standing there, you know, with his headset on, chatting with whoever's listening up in the box. And I just, you know, I don't know how focused he was.
Well, we're knee-deep now in a coaching search. And it's sort of interesting. You're going to hear a lot of rumors, but everything's going to be done back channel. And it's a very interesting process. It's sort of an art form. It's an art form on how the coaches do denials to, you know, they've gone to Dabo Swinney. They've gone to all the coaches. And it's interesting to try to read between the lines as to whether their denial is a real denial or a denial with a crack of the door, you know, the crack of the door still open. And for example, when Dabo Swinney said that there's only, you know, I'm only interested in one Death Valley or something like that, to me, it left a little bit of a opening. But, you know, who knows, the opening could be in order to extend their contract, you know, reduce a buyout, increase compensation, you know, LSU's coming, so let's do something to improve our package. But it'll be interesting because I think there's only about three or four people who know what's going on and won't disclose as to what's going to happen. And you'll have, you know, every week you're going to have the coach of the week. Last week I think it was Mel Tucker from Michigan State. Next week, you know, yeah, the recent one's been Mike Tomlin. But I think those names get thrown out, and it'll probably be new names that are thrown out. So it's just part of the process, you know. So
we're really not going to know until the end of the year.
Right.
After the season, maybe before a bowl game. Not. We're not. And we shouldn't know, you know. So somebody shouldn't do that to their team either, right?
What they do is, like, you know, they'll send a word through the agent and say, would Mike Tomlin be interested in $11 million and sort of get a feel? Or would he be interested in LSU? If he was interested in LSU, would he be interested in $11 million over 7 years? And they'll send out those signals back channel to the representatives of the coaches, and then the coaches, and that's where you start getting interest. So it's a very interesting process, because if you look at every coach who changed teams probably in the last 15 years, they denied interest in that job.
Of course.
Or deflected it.
Especially in the middle of the season. I mean, they're not going to say, hey, I'm interviewing. You know, now all of a sudden your allegiance to the team, everything you're trying to create, where you are, gets undermined to some degree.
Well, you know, and I'll sort of get legal with this. The most interesting aspect of a coach's contract is termination with cause. Because I think 30 years ago, they used to have a termination provision saying if you violated school policy, and you could be terminated with cause, so they didn't have to buy out the rest of the contract. And what maybe some colleges would do is, this is sort of at that time, they would look to see if the coach made some long-distance calls on school time, personal long-distance calls on school time, parked in a handicapped zone on campus, and said, you violated school policy, so therefore there's cause, and they could not, you know, probably have a opportunity to knock down the buyout. And so then as coaches have more leverage, they narrow the term of cause. And there was a few contracts that I worked on. It was, you know, cause would be termination of the program due to sanctions and felony, which was a very narrow view of cause. And so, you know, for example, Will Wade, when they renegotiated his contract, they expanded the cause provision as to do for certain levels of NCAA violations. So it's an interesting, you know, aspect. Now, they could have probably made a run at terminating Coach O's contract with cause. But they made the economic decision that if they did that, and they went through a legal battle on whether it was cause or without cause, there would probably be a lot of information that would be disclosed that the university would probably not want to have disclosed. It might not be, it wouldn't be illegal, it would just be embarrassing, And
it's like the Colin Kaepernick thing, right? You want to beat the owners? You subpoena their emails back and forth, and they say, you know what? Okay, what do you want? How much do you want? Right, so, and I mean, and it's true. I mean, everybody's a little guilty, right? And so I don't want this coming out or that coming out. And you know, it's a shame, but you know, the hardest thing is, and I mean, I do these types of contracts as well, not for the Players Association in the NFL, but just for employees and employee contracts. Right. And you know, they want to put like a morality clause in there, but like, okay, whose definition?
Whose standard? Right. Whose standard?
Yeah. Whose standards are we using? Are we using, you know, Sister Teresa's? I mean, you know, or
Sister Teresa.
Where are, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
So that's it's just so broad and open ended. You know, it's like the U.S. Supreme Court justice once said, you know, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see,
when
it.
I see it.
And right. So, you know, it's that case by case basis, right?
Well,
you know, and people were talking about that. It's like, hey, look, you know, it's pretty stupid what O was allegedly doing, but you know, he was a single man, and you know, it was not like he was, you know,
legal obligation to someone else during that time.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not taking up for him or making any kind of excuses, but. You know, just you know, email threads and text threads I'm on where people, you know, weighing in on it. And that's one of the comments. It's like, look, it's stupid. It's, you know, and it's not. It's something that you need to be above and you need to be at least more discreet about. I mean, you know, come on. Well, and maybe you get fired for being stupid. You know?
Well, you know, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, he enjoyed a certain lifestyle when he was playing with the Yankees, but he had a lockbox. In the front of his penthouse, and anybody mm-hmm. who entered his penthouse would have to put their cell phone in the lockbox, and then they had to leave because he just understood about image being discreet and you know as just being you know in that situation. But they did say, now going back to coaches, is that was a requirement that they acted a certain standard of morality off the field. If that was your criteria, there wouldn't be a lot of head football coaches
right.
being hired.
Right, exactly. You know, these guys,
you know, we're just human. We're all human.
Yeah.
So,
human. Yeah.
All right, let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers on all things legal, WWLAMFM.com. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, you on all things legal?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
what's got for us, Jim?
Oh, this is Piper. This is not Jim. This is Piper.
Piper, okay.
Piper. He mispronounced my name. I said Pipe, and he said Jim.
Gotcha. All right, Piper.
They sound so much alike.
Yes. Sunday morning, you know, some of us were up late, including me, so
yeah.
I get it.
I got controversial things to say. Number one, you can't tell me that Coach O went from national champion to putting together possibly the best team ever seen and giving us the joy of it, because I went to LSU. So what we got now? No, you're going to tell me that the plays were different? His book, his X's and O's were different? No, the mindset of these baby-fied, and it's ascribing to the theory that you guys are putting forward, the media's putting forward, that it's Coach O, that's why it's a bad program. No, they're subscribing to that, and they're using that as an excuse to lose. They don't want to compete and lose on their talent as they're doing. Because each player needs that man to execute, and y'all not executing. I ain't see Coach O with one jersey on out there. Yeah. And let me tell you something. When I used to play football, I wish the coach would have brought a woman out there. We'd have been like, man, our coach, man, look out, man, she is fine. Boy, look, coach, the dog. We playing for dog. This is a bunch of little weak-minded, excuse-having, non-mental strength boys that will not be men. They're going to look back at this. Let me tell you, if it was us, we'd be looking at it, man, it's an opportunity to rise. Boy, all this controversy, we going to shine. If we whip everybody with this controversy going on that these people putting forth, man, Coach O drawing up them X's and O's, and we ain't executing. That's the bottom line. The bottom line. I said my piece. Oh, and something else. It says it's legal. Don't they have a responsibility and a fiduciary responsibility to their contract that they signed for scholarships?
Well, they do. But if they don't, if they don't live up to it or abide by it, there's no sanction for it. They would just lose. Their sanction is losing their scholarship.
Or they say they're not going to pull their scholarship. Yeah. You're going to pull Coach O.
Yeah.
You're going to pull Coach O. But the truth of the matter is that man drew a play that they did not execute.
Sure.
All right. Couple of comments in response. I don't know that Coach drawn up any of the plays. That would be the offensive and defensive coordinators, both of whom he lost.
No problem. They didn't execute them.
Okay. Second.
Yeah, they didn't execute them.
Yeah. No. Look, I don't disagree with you. Listen, I started off by saying that pretty much the thing you were saying that a lot of these players, you know, opened a big can of quit. They just quit on them, and they should be their opportunity to shine because some of these guys are waiting for the combine, so they're playing hurt. And where these younger kids are going to be, here's their opportunity to come in and really impress, and I don't see it happening. But one of the things is, listen, every one of those kids is a blue-chip five-star athlete, or they would not have been recruited by LSU. And the fact is, a good head coach not only recruits those people, but motivates them. Who can motivate those people best? And who can get them to play their best every day? And that's one thing that Coach O's got so many distractions that he's not been able to do.
Well,
that's my opinion.
I'll say this. Hello? Yeah, hello? Go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
Piper. Let me say this. It all falls down to what you got in your heart in the football field, man. That's all. Nobody can motivate me, man. That first lick and me wanting to sting you back, that motivates me.
Right.
And that permeates through a football team, man. This is men out there. The sport has gotten weaker. I do agree that they, you know, ballerina shoes should be put on sometimes. But at the bottom line is your heart. Is what you want to put on him. Is what, you stung me, huh? All right. And you go back to the huddle. Boy, that boy stung you, boy.
Right.
All right. You stung me. Oh, okay. Before this game over, I'm going to sting you.
I mean, Piper in the locker room.
You don't have that in him. Listen, Coach O can't put that in him. Coach O had the first team. They came in, and when he came in, is the same mindset that these dudes had with the other coach. You understand? All these newspaper articles giving us a way out to lose. Giving us a way out. That's my excuse for losing. You my excuse.
God.
You got to look at your own mind. Look at you. These dudes need somebody like me to come in and talk to them, bro.
There you go. All right, Piper. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, it's a morning after LSU game. You got, you know, a little bit of residual. But, you know, one thing and so let's I think we're going to switch over now to law. But I have to say this. You know, when thing about Coach Saban, he's life lesson. Focus on what you're doing. You have a choice every day on making the decision to do things right or not, you know, 100%. Block out the rat poison in the nose, noise that – don't control things you don't control, and the results will come. And that's the best way, you know, that's why he's so successful. So let's go to Jack. He's got a question regarding deductibles on Hurricane Ida insurance. Hey, Jack, you on All Things Legal.
Hey, Doug, thank you for taking the call. I'm a neophyte when it comes to matters of insurance.
Yes.
And I live in a little house in Gentilly. It's about 1,500 square feet. And I'm just curious as to why my insurance company hit me up with about a $3,600 deductible on this little house. You know, I don't understand that.
Is it a 2% deductible?
Man, I don't know. I haven't looked.
Well, what do you have to have secure it? What's the policy level on the
property? The adjuster that came out said that I need a new roof, and I got the impression that it was damaged from the Hurricane Ida, and I don't know what to do now.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, first of all, you'd probably, whether you knew it or didn't know it, when you bought the insurance, you contracted this particular hurricane deductible. And what basically happened was, after Hurricane Katrina, a lot of the insurance companies did not want to write insurance in the state of Louisiana, so there were very few choices, and the prices were, you know, the premiums were high. So the insurance commissioner allowed insurance companies, or agreed to allow them to write policies with 2% deductibles, 5% deductibles, higher deductibles, in order to get more insurance companies in the marketplace. So
I spoke to my insurance. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of times we don't look at our insurance policy until after an event, and that's what happens a lot of times. And you know, if we go 15 years without making a claim, sometimes we sort of lose track as to what's in the insurance policy, because the agent says, here's your renewal. And a lot of times a renewal might have from a $1,000 deductible to a 2% based on the changing market. So
I've been very happy with USAA.
I think they're the best insurance company.
And they suggested that I get 3 written estimates from a licensed and bonded roofing company to get some dollar amounts and see what I can do after that.
Well, I think what I think you'll do is get the estimates, and also in the estimates, if the roofers believe that it needs to be a total replacement as opposed to a repair, have them put that in the estimate, and have them say that the replacement's necessitated by Hurricane Ida, and also the analysis they used to come up with that conclusion, which isn't only about a paragraph.
I even asked the guy that came out and got up on my roof and checked everything. I said, do you feel like I need a new roof? He said, yeah, you do need a new roof. And I said, wow.
We'll put it in the, but have them put that in your estimate. So it'll be processed by USAA more. It'll be more digestible for them as far as the roof.
As a result of Hurricane Ida, they determine I need a new roof.
Along those lines. Yes, sir.
Right. And also you want to have them add why, right? The seal tabs were lifted. The granulars were not, sufficient. We couldn't warrant a repair. There's certain reasons why, you would need a new roof. I mean, I've talked to so many people that said, look, the adjuster didn't even get up on the roof. They did a flyover, basically, and then just kind of looked at it like that. Didn't even get up there and touch the roof or try to lift Any
shingles, anything. He stayed up on that roof for a good 45 minutes going on to real.
It's probably why he concluded you needed a new one, because he got up there and actually examined it.
Because of the flapping of the seal tabs and the granules.
Right.
So,
a seal tab roof that's unsealed doesn't do you a lot of good.
No, I know. Thank you for all that you do for the community. You're a blessing.
All right. Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Justin and Gentile. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Doug. Good morning, Albert. Long time no chat. How y'all been?
Good. I haven't talked to you since before August 29th. You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. How'd y'all do?
Albert, you go first.
We did good, but some shingles, but in the scheme of things, really, we were blessed.
Yeah.
Good. Me too.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, I just spent $2,500 on automotive work on my car. And it was front end work, so my mechanic had to take off the bumper. And he takes a picture, my chassis was cracked. Now, I have not been any wrecks. And I bought this used car from a very reputable dealership. Now, I know law requires the dealership to tell me if this car's been in a wreck. But does a private citizen who sells at the dealership, they don't tell them that they get in a wreck. Is there a law against that?
Well, about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. They probably sold it to you as is. But if they made a representation to the well, you got a time issue. How long ago did you buy the car?
Oh, I bought the car. I'm not going after that. I bought it in 2011, 10 years ago.
Okay.
But the thing is, now I believe if had the dealership known it was there, they would have told me. But it was, they had to remove the bumper so they couldn't see it. But I know the seller, whoever sold that car to that dealership, knew they were in a wreck and they didn't tell them that. Is that illegal? Yeah.
Theoretically, as you state, if you sell a car and you know of a defective condition, you can't misrepresent the condition of the car, even if you sell it as is. So in other words, you can't say, hey, car's never been wrecked, sell it as is, and then it turns out to be wrecked. Now, so under, you know, theoretically, you know, you just can't make a misrepresentation. But most used cars are sold as is, but they do have a, you know, I guess a duty not to make an affirmative representation that's contrary to the condition of the car.
Right. So they can't hide anything they know.
Well, we're talking about used cars as opposed to new cars, which have a different set of laws. But for a used car, if they know that the car is compromised and they are presenting it in a way that it's not, then it would be probably some type of misrepresentation, retribution claim.
Okay. Well, the car's driving fine. I mean, this is the most money I've ever spent on this little car. This is the last car I'm ever going to own.
I will say this, Justin, and this is in the context of elections coming up. you do drive in New Orleans, which have potholes that are about, you know, six feet down. So could it have been a pothole? Many, you know, in one of the 200,000 potholes in Orleans Parish.
Well, yes, sir, I do. And let me tell you, driving in Orleans Parish is like driving on the moon. I mean, the craters are everywhere. But I do know, I watch out for potholes. I have not hit one to the point where it would damage the front chassis. I know that.
Gotcha.
And it's all good. I'm not after suing anybody. I was just curious where the law starts and where it ends on that point.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, used car dealers are up there with some used car dealers are up there with attorneys as far as being revered by society.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, look, I'm going to get off the phone, but thanks for taking my call. And it's such a joy to talk to both of you. Love to you and your families. And have a wonderful weekend. Okay.
Thank you, Justin. Good to hear from you. Who do we got next, Doug? We got Albert. How did I forget that? Hey, Albert, you're on All Things Legal.
Happy Albert. Saturday, everyone. I have two legal questions pertaining to the Ogeron situation. Mm-hmm. First, do we know if his buyout, the provisions of the buyout, allow him to have another job or payments are being made?
That's a great
buyout payments.
That is a great question. That is a fantastic question. And
the second question you can answer is, do we know if the rumors are true that Ed Ogeron was refusing to cooperate with civil and criminal investigators about the behavior of the players regarding, you know, assaults on the ladies? I ask that because if that's true, you don't want to be a snitch, but at the same time, people could view you as an accessory. I mean, the university, to save its credibility, would have to get rid of him because you can't tell the parents your university safe if you have a university employee not willing to cooperate with investigators. I mean, that's a touchy situation, I know, but the university would be in a bind there.
Well, let me take the second question first.
Let Albert explain that a little more because I did not hear that angle through all of this, that he was basically ratting out his own players for, you know.
Or not.
Yeah, I heard some of the rumors were he was refusing to testify and provide information to investigators because he didn't want to be a snitch. And if that is true, you know, you can understand not wanting to be a snitch, but at the same time, as a university employee, the university has to protect its students and the credibility of the university, so they would almost be forced to fire them.
Well, I think one of the things that gets lost in the media is the narrative. It's a lot more complex than how it's reported because, you know, a lot of, how can I say, there's people with agendas who take bits and pieces of information and use it, you know, I guess politically or for their advocacy. I will say this. One of the things with the Darius Geis issue was shortly after it was allegedly reported, somebody called on the victim's behalf, who is not a lawyer, and offered to said, if you pay me a couple of $100,000 or some, you know, some amount, we'll shut up. And so, you know, so that put in a new wrinkle on how do we deal with this? In other words, and so it's not, you know, clear as to what's really going on when it occurs, because it could be a lady who was assaulted by a LSU football player, which is horrible. But on the other hand, you have some person on who's being opportunistic on behalf of this you know, this lady who is trying to shake down the university and has no authority or has no credentials to do that. So it's a very there's more to this that we'll probably never know. There's certain parts of this that'll be reported, not reported. I think, you know, for the most part, I think what wasn't done is what is the proper procedure on how to disseminate this information and have a procedure in place. And so one of the things that LSU will have is if they have a report, they will have a protocol on how to deal with it. And I think what happened before is they didn't have a protocol, or it stopped with some interested party who would be able to manipulate the information or not, you know, send it up in a higher, you know, to the higher ups. But on the other hand, you know, this is not popular to say, but, you know, people are opportunistic about this. I just finished a case with a college coach where he lost his job over 100% false allegation, 100% false allegation. But, and, you know, in a buyout had to be worked out, but it was 100% false. And he lost the allegation because someone in the background understood they could just throw this allegation out and that would, you know, that would, he would lose his job. So you have to have a balance. You have to have a procedure to report these claims. You have to have a fair hearing. You have to have disinterested people who look at it. But then on the other hand, you know, you have to ferret out, you know, who's credible in these situations, what happened. And so I think what happened with the Title IX with LSU, I don't think we'll know a lot of what occurred. But I think the thing that they didn't probably have, which they'll probably do now, is have a strict protocol on how to deal with this. And they'll probably have it sent to somewhere outside of the athletic administration to let them do the investigation and come up with its conclusions.
Okay. And in the buyout provisions, could you comment on that, on his ability to work?
Yeah. The buyout, that's a very interesting thing because a lot of coaches fight over that. That was one of the issues with Les Miles, you know, if he took additional employment, should that be offset with his earnings? And some of the provisions do, some of the provisions don't. There was an interesting case. I forgot which coach it was, but they had a buyout provision saying that if he was in football, any earnings as a football coach would be offset of his first buyout that's paid out over time. Well, he became a television personality, and there was a fight as to, well, I'm not a football coach. University took position, well, you're earning this money in football, so therefore it should be offset. And so those, you know, a lot of those times after you have these cases, you contemplate that. But I in reading Coach O's contract, I don't think there's an offset. So that's my opinion.
Right. Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you much. All right, let's go to break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. We got about two minutes before the news break. Albert, I have a profound thought. You know, Coach O, we're talking about Coach O, just where the calls went. won 75% of his games, and he's out of a job. Now, that's a pretty, you know, state of Louisiana, you know, holds the LSU coach to a very high standard. Yet we live in a city, there's potholes, there's crime, there's carjackings, there's no electricity, there's no garbage pickup, there's no traffic lights, there's no economic growth, there's no cranes in the sky. And we don't seem to hold anybody accountable for that.
Right.
It's very interesting that we're...
Don't live in this.
But it's interesting that a football coach is held to the standards, but the quality of life in one of the greatest cities, you know, ever,
right,
there's no accountability. So it's just an interesting and profound thought that we're a lot more concerned about a football coach than we are, you know, quality life issues, because we have elections coming up. And I always say, if you like the potholes, crime, carjacking, no electricity, no garbage pickup, no economic growth, no traffic lights, keep voting the same way you vote all the time. But,
exactly,
you know.
Real quick, Doug, next hour I'd like to start off, if you don't mind, talking real quick about a co-insurance penalties.
Oh, that's good. A lot of people ask that question. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of confusing, but and there's a key factor, I think, that can help a lot of people out.
Also, too, yeah, I always had to bring in a chalkboard to explain that. So you'll be able to explain it over the radio, because it's a sort of a nebulous concept. But a lot of people wonder, on our insurance, why are they knocking down a payout because of not enough insurance? So we'll talk about that. In the second hour, we'll probably talk a lot about Hurricane Ida insurance. So stay tuned for national news, local news. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned. We're on till 10 o'clock on All Things Legal, AMFM.com. See you in 10.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, we're back for hour number two, Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal, and WWLAMFM.com, Odyssey.com. And Albert, one of the things that is difficult after a hurricane is valuing specialty items. You know, if you have a contents claim and you have antiques or something that's beyond the, I guess, normal, a lot of times insurance companies will want specific information on how, you know, how you value certain items that aren't maybe a little different. And on the same token, you know, the hurricane passed right over Lafourche, Terrebonne, St. John, St. Charles Parish, Lower Jefferson, Lower Plaquemines. We have a lot of fish and game and, you know, hunters, and they had a refrigerator full of their booty, or, you know, a lot of things, you know, turkeys and ducks and that were ruined. And so when you go report to the insurance company, you know, how do you value that? Well, we got Don Dubuque here, who's called in, who's going to help us out with a lot of the hunters and fishermen who've had a spoilation in their refrigerator of a lot of their fish and hunt, you know, ducks and wild turkeys on. He found a way to get a good valuation. And Don, thank you for joining us in the morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad to be here.
Good. How are your horses doing?
Well, I'm down to one.
You're down to one. Scout, that's right.
And he's doing fine. He's still enjoying listening to you in the barn every Sunday morning.
All right. Well, tell him we said hello. Well, Don,
Don, real quick, I want you to ask Doug when the last time he went fishing was.
Hurricane Katrina.
We were in law school.
Yeah.
We were in law school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They were still using cane poles back then.
You're right. Albert's the sportsman here. Don, you came up, you know, a lot of your listeners and a lot of people, you know, had trouble who they lost a lot of their, you know, their hunting and, you know, fish that they got from that they caught that was in their freezes, and they lost it. And a lot of people are having a hard time valuing these for the insurance companies, the loss and the spoilage. But you have you found out how to do that. If you could tell us about that.
Well, you know, I was in that same situation. I mean, being in the career I have, my freezer was loaded with a variety of wild caught fish, seafood, and game. And I lost a lot of it, unfortunately, and so did a lot of other people across the state, because those areas you mentioned, I mean, that's what people do. And so I was trying to devise a method of how to, you know, come up with a figure to give my insurance adjuster to get reimbursed for it. And it's not like you pick up a pack of ground meat and it's got a label on it that tells you the value on it. That's easy. But when you go out and you catch your own fish, you shoot their own game, it's very difficult to assess what that is, because you can't sell it. It's illegal to sell, so it's hard to come up with a value. Well, the light bulb went off. And on my Saturday morning shows, I have a feature called Bad Boys of the Outdoors. And people love it. They love to hear the crimes that people are charged with dealing with fish and game poaching and what the penalties are. Well, about 20 years ago, the state decided they were going to institute civil restitution. You're familiar with restitution, I'm sure.
Man.
You know, this is the payback for the value of whatever it is that you were responsible for. Stealing or embezzling or ruining or whatever. And they came up and did some research on just about everything that walks, swims, flies, or crawls in Louisiana. And it's actually in the Louisiana Administrative Code under Title 76, which governs wildlife and fisheries laws. And, you know, these civil restitution figures come up in the sentences. So I said, well, if that's what the state officially values these animals and fish and seafood, then that should be accepted by an insurance company. So what I did was I inventoried everything I had. I had everything from wild turkey to frog legs to speckled trout, geese. I had ducks. I had quail. I had woodcock. I managed to save a good bit of it, but I lost quite a bit of it. Well, I took those figures, and they're available online, and I've got the link on my website at dontheoutdoorsguy.com. And if you look on the homepage, it'll tell you, there's a question, have you lost frozen fish or game and need to make an insurance claim? You click that link on, and the entire list comes up, and it's broken down very specifically And it's somewhat surprising. A turkey, a wild turkey, for instance, is valued at about $1,500 a piece.
Wow.
Which
wow.
I had two of those. I had ducks. Ducks are also one that, a wild duck. How do you do that? Domestic duck, if you buy it in a store, it's got a price on it. But the price to buy the boat that you need, the camo, the guns, the licenses, the stamps, a hunting lease cost, building a blind, all of these things goes into being able to go out and secure a wild duck. They're valued at $26.61 a piece. Even a rabbit, $31.71 is what the state estimates the fair value of a rabbit is. Quail are $43, woodcock are $59, doves, which I went up yesterday, those are $14.27. The fish, a redfish, which is a game fish, you can't buy them unless they're farm raised, $26.47 a pound. Speckled trout, $28.97 a pound. And if you ask the wives of fishermen what their husbands pay for the fish that they bring home, those figures are not out of line. It's very expensive sport to maintain a boat, the gear, the bait, the tackle, the licenses, and all of that. So at any rate,
Don, you might not want to share those figures with your wife because,
probably not. Unless she does the research. She may put a stop to your hobby. But so what I did was I accumulated it, extrapolated it out, multiplied what I had times the value. I came up personally with a total of $5,900 worth. And State Farm adjuster came out, and I presented that to him, and he was excited about it. I was expecting maybe a little pushback on it, and he said, look, do you mind if I keep this? He says, I'm doing adjustments down in Terrebonne and Houma and these areas here, and these people are the same thing, that we don't know what the value is. This is excellent. So I gave it to him, and when the settlement came in, they paid every penny of my claim. They honored it. So I got to give them credit.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, I had a high deductible, not really a high deductible, but this more than covered the cost of my deductible, and so I'll be able to get the other items, the minor damage to the house that I had, and tree on the driveway, and fence, and dog kennels, and stuff like that. But anyway, I know I've sent you the link. It's pretty lengthy. So rather than give it out on the air, people are not going to be able to copy it down. They can go to my website, or they can contact you for it, or they can simply do a Google search and put in Louisiana wildlife values, fish and wildlife values, and it'll pop up under Title 76 and give them an estimate. I mean, everything from deer, the list goes on and on, just about every species of fish, whether it's bass or brim, sheephead, drum, anything that you had, you can certainly come up with and my argument was, well, if this is what the state deems I have to pay back because it's based on its actual value, then that's what it's worth to me, and I should be reimbursed for it. And it works.
Don, let me ask you a question. Did you have specific coverage and endorsement under your policy for contents of your refrigerator and freezer, or did you actually have damage to the power line supplying your home?
No, this was just coverage basically on a loss. I had no damage to the power lines.
A lot of insurance companies are not paying that because they're saying that the loss of power is not a covered loss, because if you didn't lose power directly to your home, you only lost power in the neighborhood, and we don't cover power outages under the policy, even if it's the result of a storm. And so I'm surprised that you didn't get a lot of pushback just on the coverage aspect of it, and the cause of loss, not necessarily the amount of the damages.
No, they didn't. They didn't question it at all. And,
power to them.
Like I say, that this adjuster was very excited because now he had some basis to go on and was going to make his job a lot easier in estimating the values. And that never did come into question about whether it was a neighborhood outage or an individual outage.
And I think you bring up a good point, because a lot of these specialty items, the adjuster he can't just turn in an estimate. He needs or a guess based on his own perception. He needs some type of standard, that to quantify the damages, and the Title 76 does that. So, well, Don, that's fantastic. Again, if anybody wanted to get this information off your website, you just tell about your website and where on your website they can pull this information from.
It's on the homepage. It's easy to remember. It's DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. It's in the center of the homepage. You're going to see a picture of some frozen game and fish and a little click on there, and you just click to it, and it'll pop it up. Or you can do a Google engine search and find it under Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Values.
And, Don, also your show on Saturday mornings. What time? And
well, it's kind of a new show. We're not sure if it's going to make it. It's only been on 33 years. So
that's right.
But it's a lot of fun. We get up early in the morning, and the timing on a Saturday morning between 5 and 7 is perfect. It's when people are headed to the duck blind. They're headed to the boat launches. They're getting the information, the live fishing reports up to the minute, weather conditions. And we talk about a lot of the issues, you know, that face the wildlife and fisheries in the state of Louisiana and actually the Gulf Coast. It's a little mini network. I've got other stations and other markets that carry the program, and it's been a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, so you started at the end of the Reagan administration, and you're still on.
Yeah, survived a lot of changes.
There you go, man. That's staying power there. All right, Don. Well, you know, that's great information, and you know, I think a lot of the that information is going to help a lot of, especially people in Terrebonne, Lafourche, St. John, St. Charles. Like I said, it's, you know, part of the life. You know, football and hunting. That's a, you know, that's the hobbies. And so we appreciate that, and we'll see you on your show on Saturday mornings on the network. So thanks so much for calling.
You got to get out and fish. You know, the fishing hasn't changed that much since, you know, you were out there.
I think I need a good guide, so maybe you could help me out there.
Yeah, there you maybe go. When you get some time, we'll go make a trip.
That sounds fantastic.
John, you better bait his hook and clean his fish and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not so worried about the hooks. But if he wants to go hunt in Doug Sinceri with a firearm, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, exactly.
That's right. We'll, you're right there. So everybody would be in danger but the animals. So anyway. All right. Well, thanks so much, John. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, you're all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We're talking a little bit of Hurricane Ida insurance, and Albert wanted to talk about co-insurance before we get to a caller, and just sort of explain that concept, because a lot of people are confused as to what it is and how it's computed.
Yeah, so the co-insurance is a penalty, right? And many policies have a co-insurance penalty. What the insurance companies want you to do is make sure that you are insuring your property for its value. So, for instance, if you have a $200,000 home, now, when I say value of your home, I'm not talking about the complete value with the lot and all the amenities. I'm talking about how much would it cost to rebuild your home if it was a total loss. So let's say it's $200,000 and you only have $100,000 of insurance as your limit on your property coverage. What they do then, so it'll either be an 80% or a 90% co-insurance requirement, which means that you're required under the policy to insure your home for either 80% or 90%, whatever the declaration page says, of its loss value. So if it's a $200 loss value and it's 90%, you got to insure it for $182,000, right? So the point is, you want to be able to. Did I do the math right on that? Yeah. So anyway, it's 10% of it'd be $18,000, right, off the 180. So or 20,000 off the 200. Excuse me. So it would be $180,000 that you have to insure the property for. If you didn't, let's say you insured it for 150, then they're going to apply a percentage. They're going to take a percentage of the 80 as it relates to the 100%. So they're going to take 80% of that amount that you have it valued at and only give you 80% amount of coverage. So they're going to reduce your claim by a percentage because you didn't insure your property for the full value. Now, there are ways to get around this. And I don't mean get around. But there are ways to minimize what they're trying to establish. First way is to get a value of the house as is. okay? And it's you know, depreciated value, or its value as is, as the house itself, not including the lot. So people think, oh, yeah, my house is assessed for X. Well, yeah, but that includes a lot, right? It's not just the value of the house. The second thing is, when they're doing a claim summary, okay, they're not just doing a replacement. They're doing a removal and replacement. So all of the costs to do the demolition, to remove this, to maybe, you know, pull this off, all of that's factored in, the dumpsters and all these extraneous things that they put into your claim summary. Those need to be backed out of the claim, because in terms of figuring out the value of that house. Because, you know, if it's a total loss like we have in Katrina, very many of the houses they considered a total loss, but, you know, they hadn't looked at their policies in 20 years and they were still insured for substantially less than really what the value of the house would be. So they're only going to pay you a percentage of that loss. They're not going to pay you the full value. And the game is to try to keep that value high, because they want you to keep your value high, because if it's high, you're going to pay a higher deductible because you're paying a percentage. So they're kind of getting you on both ends of it. But that's kind of the skinny on a deductible. You only get a percentage of that 100% of recovery because you didn't insure it for the proper value.
So basically, if you didn't get enough insurance on the policy, there may be some type of deduction due to the coinsurance policy. And there's ways of to refute the deduction by pulling out some of the estimate on dumpster removal and dumpsters, and which might be 5 or 10% of the estimate.
That sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, demolition, and all that kind of thing.
And then the second part
would
be,
back a lot of that out and say, hey, look, you're charging me for this, but if I'm building this new, I don't have that. I don't have, you know, demo and all those sorts of things.
And the second thing would be get an estimate of the house in its present condition.
So just
on impaired condition, yeah. The structure, yeah. not the land
value. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
All right. So there you go. So when you got coinsurance,
I know we have a quick call.
Yeah. So, and let's go to Fran. She's got a question regarding her car. Hey, Fran, you on All Things Legal. How can we help you?
Thank you. Boy, I really need help. I am desperate. And this doesn't really pertain to Ida.
That's okay.
But I discovered this because of Ida, okay? Let me tell you what happened. I purchased a used car from a very reputable dealer in Covington in late January, and early February is when I signed the papers. Well, it wasn't until after Hurricane Ida that I discovered the mistake, because I opened an account for my hurricane damage at Chase. I deal with Whitney, so I opened an account at Chase, and it happens that my mortgage is with Chase, too. But when I opened the account, it showed the note from Chase on the car. I purchased a car, and you might think I'm stupid. Well, I am stupid because I did this, but anyway. I went online looking for a Subaru Forester because I wanted that car, because I had an old one that lasted forever and it was still running, but I wanted a newer one. And I found this car for only $11,000. Well, it was more than 11, but I brought them down to 11 from 11,600, whatever. And the salesperson was very nice, and he was never pushy. And I was so excited when he told me, okay, you can have it for $11,000 even. So I said, okay, I'm putting $5,000 down. So when it came to my going out there to sign, the manager had the papers, and he turned the page so that I could see it, but he had his hand on the top. And I am hard of hearing. I'm 78 years old. I'm hard of hearing. And I didn't have my glasses with me. I forgot to bring them. So I'm sitting there, and he's going, and I'm so excited about getting this car, you know, and I was just going to finance some of it. So he says, okay, and here's your total and this and that and this and that. And I thought when he said, okay, 12,000 something, I thought he was telling me, well, that's the whole thing, right? But he was telling me that's the balance after your 5,000. okay? Well, I didn't hear him. I didn't hear it right.
Well, let me stop.
Let me stop it.
Just because we're on radio. But so basically, you signed the paper and you didn't know what you were signing. Is that the issue?
That's right. That's okay. The issue. What I'm trying to say is, he handed me the paper. I folded it and put it in an envelope, and I stuck it in my glove compartment, and I never looked at it until I saw the balance of what I owed on it on my Chase account when I went on my phone and checked all my Chase business.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that you're going to probably be stuck with the terms and conditions of the sale and the loan.
You're going to say that because my daughter actually has a JD. She works at a different job, but she has a JD, and she told me. But I paid $16,000 instead of $11,000. He put $5,000 on. And now I know he didn't do that on purpose. I believe they're so reputable. I believe that that was the value of that particular car.
Well,
but what the salesman told me, they were trying to sell that one off the lot because it was the oldest one that got traded in. Now, listen, this car only had less than 8,000 miles.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to listen. I got to tell you.
I know, but I guess I get it. We got to go to a break for a second. Is there something, some question you want from us?
Do you think I could go up to them and talk to them? You think they might help me?
Well, I mean, they have no legal obligation to do it, but if you explain that to them, if they did it, it would be beyond any legal obligation to have to do so. Okay? It would just be gratuitously. Right. Well, there you go. There you go. Two for two. So it would be gratuitous.
The downside of it is, if that was the case, then anybody who ever signed the contract can say, oh, you know what? I didn't read that, or I didn't understand it, or, I didn't have my glasses. Right. So the law is very clear that you're presumed to know what you are signing, and you're presumed to understand what you're signing if you sign something.
I have a suggestion.
Got to be that way.
I have a suggestion. Next time you buy a car, bring your daughter. There you go. All right. Thanks for the call. Okay, we've got to go to break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We're on to about 10 o'clock today, which is about 17 more minutes. Albert, a lot of people are getting their claim summaries back, and they don't understand. They have a line item. They'll have the amount of damages. Then they'll have a deduction for their deductible, and then they have a deduction for recoverable depreciation. And then they'll have an amount that they would actually be paid. Could you explain what recoverable depreciation is and how that works?
Okay, so if you have an actual cash value policy, in other words, it's a high risk or it's an old policy from right after Katrina when that's all they were really writing, then all they're going to pay you is the actual cash value of the repair, which means that if your carpets were 10 years old, they're probably not going to pay you a whole lot to replace them, right? It's because that's the actual cash value at the moment of the loss. If you have replacement cost coverage, it's different. So what they will do is they will deduct the depreciated value, pay you the actual cash value, and then hold back what is called recoverable depreciation, which means you can recover it, but you have to get the work performed before you can recover that amount. Now, it seems kind of crazy because it's like, look, this contractor is waiting for his money. How am I going to get it done? I don't have the money to get it done because you're holding my money. And so that's something you're going to have to work out with your contractor. They're just going to have to understand that. Keep in mind, with most contractors, your contractor is going to probably say that you owe the money regardless of whether or not the insurance company pays you. They don't want to be in the middle of that fight, and I don't blame them. But the other half of it is, on the recoverable depreciation, the insurance companies have a valid reason for doing that, right? They want to make sure that, look, if we're going to pay you, then we want to be sure that you're getting the work done. We're not going to pay you full value for this. Continue to insure this loss for maybe next year's storm or the year after, and you don't get the work done, or you don't get the work done by licensed contractors or whatever the case may be. So they want to be sure that the work gets done so they're not paying for that same loss again. And so they say, look, when we see that you've done the work, take pictures, do whatever you have to do, and then we'll send you the difference and you know, we'll be good to go. But that's basically what it is. You can recover that after you get the work done or work with your adjuster. Some of these desk adjusters will say, look, just send me a copy of your contract with your contractor. You know, send me some pictures where it looks like most of the work's getting done. I'll start sending you, you know, start sending you some checks and bits and pieces until we get it finished. I do note that a lot of the adjustments I see, they're probably not depreciating things as much as they can. You know, some things they shouldn't depreciate, right? If you got solid hardwood floors in an older house, you know, they may be a little damaged, but, you know, like some scratches and stuff. But I mean, in terms of it's solid hardwood, there's nothing wrong with it. The finish might just be a little messed up. So they shouldn't really depreciate those things. Carpet really gets depreciated a lot because I think the useful life of carpet probably, you know, 7 years. Same thing with appliances. You know, there's a depreciation schedule and all that. The insurance companies have those depreciation schedules.
All right. Let's go to good explanation. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Greg from Gretna. Hey, Greg, what you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling on behalf of my 80-year-old mother.
Yes.
She received checks from the insurance company very quick, right after the storm. And, of course, they're made payable to her and the mortgage company. And so she FedExed the checks to the mortgage company. She's been trying to call them every day, cannot get in touch with them. 2 months now, we're waiting to get the checks endorsed by them. For 2 months, we haven't been able to do anything to the house because we can't get them to sign the checks. How do you move forward? This could go on for another 2 months or another 3 months.
That's one of the problems with having an out-of-town mortgage company. Because after Katrina, we would tell them to go into the local bank, and they didn't, you know, sort of make a little bit of a scene. And they'll say, sit down. Okay, we'll deal with it. What I would do is, that's tough. I would do a couple of things. One, I would go, are you getting a live person or are you just getting a voicemail?
No, just a busy signal.
Busy.
I mean, my mom's sitting there, busy. She has nothing else to do all day but try to call him. And then sometimes when she does get a ring, nobody answers.
Wow. Well, what I had to do for Katrina is we ended up suing the mortgage companies for doing that. And then most of the time we were able to recover the cost for doing that because they were non-responsive. Do they have an email or do they have any type of, you know, fax number or anything like that? Do you know?
Yeah, maybe go to their website, see a contact us section and see if there's a way to, might be a different number they give you on that, on the website, as opposed to, you know, hey, contact us from the mortgage, because they don't want you contacting them, right?
I understand.
Even follow up with a letter. You know, I would even follow up with a letter, make a copy of it, of course. Start making your paper trail now, because push may have to come to shove at some point. And, you know, just set, hey, it's my mother. My mother, she's 80-something years old, this and this. She can't be back in her home. She can't start her repairs. You're holding this up. We have a contract. You have a duty to send it to us, endorse it, and get it to us. So, you know, if it's a substantial loss, then they want to hold on to the money. They'll say, look,
we're in LaPlace. We're in LaPlace.
Greg, give us a call.
I understand what you guys are saying, but we FedEx them the checks. They have the checks. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, hey, we need to get contact with them and say, hey, we're going to send you the check. They have the check. We FedEx them.
You're preaching to the choir, and it happened a lot after Katrina. What you want to do is make a paper trail now. So if you have to get an attorney, you'll have a nice paper trail so you can get all your costs back. And maybe something on top of that. In other words, you're going to have to make a contemporaneous record so that when it gets to the litigation phase, that you have that string of emails, string of letters, so that when you make your argument that not only you held my money, you should give me damages and my costs back, it'll be very compelling. Okay, so I would have to make a record of it, as opposed to I just tried to call, because that's not going to fly in court. So make a specific record for that. Greg, call us at 504-837-1304, 504-837-1304, okay, if you got any more questions, because probably a little more explanation for that. Thanks for the call. We're going to our final break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. We'll be right back after this brief time. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your Weekend Lawyers. If you got any, we can't get to you, you can call us at a law firm at 504-837-1304, 504-837-1304, or go to
Real quick. So I texted someone to see about the Coach O question, about whether or not if he gets another job, they reduce his payment, or if they cut his payment. And he's somebody who's an associate in our office's father-in-law. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
So he says, answer is don't know. He's actually been a guest of our show. Can't read, hear, or listen to anything about Tigers for a few days because of the horror of the game. I go into a Tiger football news boycott for a few days after a bad loss. Don't need any negative vibes at this point in my life.
There you go. Maybe I'm I think he lives in Metairie, around the corner from our law firm. I'll leave some food at the doorstep, imploring him to eat. And so we'll do that. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to who we're going to, Doug? Steve, what you got for us, Steve? We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Got about a minute.
Yes, sir. I received, I filed a claim, insurance company. I received an email stating what my claim payout was going to be and the dollar amount. That same day, I receive another email with a corrected claim payout with approximately half as much as the first email. And a couple of weeks go by, I get two checks in the mail from the first email amount and the second corrected email amount. Tried to call the desk adjuster with no success to ask, how can I return the first check, being I'm assuming it was incorrect. But what do I do with the first check?
The higher amount? Which check was the higher amount?
The first.
Well,
it was almost,
I would hold on to both of those checks until we got that resolved, right?
Do I deposit?
You can actually deposit. Yes, you can deposit both of them. I mean, if you know the second one is incorrect and it's for the same damages, I would at least deposit the first one, because that's probably the one that you want to work off of. And then if they want to stop payment on the second one, they can do that. But
the first higher amount was incorrect. The second check, the second email, was the corrected evaluation, which was lower.
Yeah, I would deposit the checks and let them get the money back. Y'all sit down, work it out, and boy, when you're holding their money, they become a lot more reasonable than if they're holding your money.
Yeah, but don't spend the money. Just hold on to it.
What if I never hear from them?
Yeah, I mean, you tried, right? You sent him an email back?
I did not send an email back. I tried to call.
I would send an email.
Back and say, hey, I've got these two checks. I went ahead and deposited them. I would like to work this out. What's the next step? I didn't want to leave the check sitting around the house, so I deposited them both. What's the next step? And then just,
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, there you go. All right, well, that's a wrap. Thanks, Albert. We'll be back next week on All Things Legal. I think we'll be on for 3 hours next week. So we'll see you next week. Be good, be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.